life. So I'm going to tell you this. I hear people say this sometimes. You know, what I do in my personal life is my own business. I'm here to tell you, in the lifeboat, there is no personal life. We are all in this boat together. And what you do affects all of us, because it's a body part. See, it's a body part. I wouldn't let my right hand start doing things that are detrimental to it or to any other parts of the body if I couldn't control it. I'd pin it down. I'm not going to let my right hand start hitting other parts of my body if it were to go wild like that. And I know that's a ridiculous thing to think about in those terms, but if we thought of ourselves independently as members of a body, that can happen. So your marriage matters to me. Because if you're not living the kind of life you ought to live as a husband or a wife, it affects the body. There isn't a personal life you have there. Not if you want to be in the lifeboat. See, go back to the lifeboat. You can't say, hey, this is my end of the lifeboat. I'll do what I want down here. It's my life. No, it's not. Not in the lifeboat. In the lifeboat, what you do affects everybody else. So you can't say, I think I'm going to row the lifeboat this way if everybody else thinks it ought to go in a different direction. You live in community with other people. And we need to think about it that way. So you're getting involved in drunkenness or drugs. Your use of foul language, those things affect the body of Christ. And we can't live that way. And we can't tolerate that in other members. So you've got this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to turn there for a moment, because I want you to see something about it. You may not have really seen in this way before. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm beginning in verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators. You go, oh, that's a big sin. Nor idolaters. Oh, that's a big one. Nor adulterers. That's a big sin. Nor effeminate. Well, that's not that big a sin. Nor homosexuals. Oh, that's a big sin. Nor thieves. Another big one. Look. Nor the covetous. Covetous. Nor drunkards. Oh, another big one. Nor revilers. Swindlers. Those people won't inherit the kingdom of God? Why not? Because, folks, sin destroys our lives. And when it destroys a part of the body, it can destroy the body. Doctors know that. You can get some infections that may start on the very tip of one of your extremities, and it can take your life if it's not corrected or dealt with. That's one of the very reasons why discipline needs to be practiced by churches against those parts of the body that have to be cut out like cancerous tissues, because it may cause destruction in the lives of others if left untouched. So we care for each other, actively care for each other. And secondly, we care for each other prayerfully. James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The members of the body care for each other, actively, prayerfully. Do you pray for the members of the body of which you're a part? Here or back home, if you're a student or away from home, do you pray for them? Have you taken the directory and just gone down that list. And listen, I know you don't know the specific needs of every person, but surely we can do more than just, and Lord, pray for John Smith. I pray for so-and-so. I pray for so-and-so. I pray for so-and-so. Surely you can say, and I pray that this person will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that this student will do work not only for their academics, but spiritually for the people that are around them. I pray for this person and that person. Can you do that? The body prays for its members. And not just for my church. It's also praying for others in other places. Have you taken the list of missionaries that this church supports and just gone down that list and prayed for them? Do your small groups do that? And you may say, yeah, we do. And I say, that's wonderful if you do. But not everybody does that kind of thing. So I mention it on the off chance that maybe that's something you could begin doing personally in your life. Praying for others. And then the last point that I want to suggest to you is that the body honors its members. The body doesn't just care for its members, it honors them. Back in Romans chapter 12, one more time. In Romans chapter 12, one of the passages that we read there says this: be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. Now there's a passage that we'll close by reading. And it is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the discussion is that sometimes the body parts that don't seem to be as valuable get a whole lot more attention than the ones that are valuable. You know, we're really concerned about our external appearance. And a lot of that has to do with things that really don't affect our lives. I mean, really, whether I have hair or don't have hair, and whether it's curly or straight, long or short, spiked or flat, whatever it may be, that really doesn't affect... Nobody ever went to the doctor and the doctor said, oh, I'm really concerned, your hair started curling, that's bad, you're going to die. Or, oh, you're losing your hair, go get a lawyer, fill out your will, you're finished. We take a lot of thought and a lot of attention, put a lot into our hair. We do with our fingernails. We do with our hands. We're not as concerned about some other members of our body. We're really happy to show off rings and things that we put on our fingers. I don't know anybody's ever pulled off a shoe and said, look at this toe ring. This is beautiful. Hold this foot and look at that ring, will you? And I know a lot of people who've said, why'd you fall in love with so-and-so? Oh, I looked at them and I looked in their eyes and I just fell in love. Just, she's beautiful, or he is just beautiful. I don't know anybody that ever said, well, if you saw his liver on the scan that I saw, you'd have fallen in love with him too. I mean, that's one of the prettiest livers I've ever seen in my life. And yet you can't live without your liver. It's appropriately named. You can't. And some of the parts of our body, we just don't take a lot of thought for. And yet, what a wonderful thing if we all would honor the members of our body. Now, my physical body doesn't need that. My hands don't do any better work or worse work if I say, hey, nice pickup. Good job, right hand. You are doing what? And my hand doesn't go, I like that. I'm going to do even better. You think that's something? Watch this. It doesn't do that. But we do. We do. We respond. When we get recognition for the things we do, we respond to that. Can you imagine what this congregation would be like if every person in this church made it a point to give some encouraging word to everybody in the congregation within a year's time? I'm not talking about just going down like, hey, I like that tie. Hey, good looking shirt. I like your hair. Good job. Hey, I like the way you're turning the Bible. Not that kind of thing. But taking a little bit of time to talk to some people, to let people know you notice them and that you appreciate them for what they do. It could be something as small as, I appreciate you speaking to me last week. I was kind of down and you were really friendly, and that means a lot to me. What a difference that can make. And how petty we can become when we don't get that kind of honor. I'm a preacher, and I get to go to a lot of different places to preach, and people are kind to me, and maybe even sometimes publicly. Things will be said about a sermon or about the work that I've done, and I'm so grateful for that. But I'll tell you, I've also been on the other end of that. And I can struggle with that, just like you can. I'm sitting there, and one of our members gets up, and we've had a guest speaker, and one of our members gets up to speak something at the end and kind of goes overboard for the guest speaker. That is the finest lesson I think I have ever heard on Esther in my life. And I'm sitting over there thinking, what about my lesson 4 weeks ago on Esther? Where were you? Do you not remember that? And that guy didn't say half of what I said about Esther. We can get that way. We can become petty. Wouldn't it be nice if all of us were getting so much affirmation of who we are and what we're doing that we didn't have those kinds of thoughts? We didn't need to have those kinds of thoughts because we were honoring one another, giving preference to one another. Wouldn't that be a great thing? And that's what we need to be doing. And I'll tell you, that extends to outside things. Somebody comes in and says, you won't believe it. There's a sister that I know back in the Tampa area. And she would come and say, I won another contest on the radio. She does those contests all the time. She knows how to do it. I won another contest. Well, what'd you get this time? $500. Now, I could say, well, now that's fine, because I could sure use $500, and she won one just a couple of months ago. I can weep with those who rejoice. Did you get that? Or I can rejoice with those who rejoice. I can say, that's wonderful, I'm so happy for you. I'm sure you're going to do good things with that. You're going to be able to help some people with that. And you're going to be blessed by that. That's a wonderful thing. I'm so happy for you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And what? Weep with those who weep. You know, that's the other side of the coin. Weep with those who weep. I want to say one thing to young people. I am encountering, and maybe it was true when I was young and I just didn't notice it, but I am meeting a lot of young people who say this. I'll say to them, so-and-so's in the hospital. You may want to go by and see them. And I have had young people say to me, Mr. Walker, I don't go to hospitals. I don't like the smell. And it's just kind of creepy to me. I don't do that. You don't do that. You don't honor those who need honoring. You don't meet those needs of people. Do you know what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes? Listen, I'm going to paraphrase it for you. It is better for you to go to a funeral than to go to Disney World. I paraphrase that. You young people say, Mom, Dad, I didn't know Disney World was in the Bible. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting. For that is the end of every man, and the wise take it to heart. I'm going to tell you, you will learn more about yourself and what your life is about by sitting in a funeral than you will by riding the best ride you've ever ridden, the Screaming Eagle or whatever it is, that ride that ties you by the big toe in a piece of leather and just slings you around for 15 minutes. You'll learn a lot about the end of your life there, but maybe not valuable things. Do you go to funerals? I didn't say it's pleasant. I don't think it's pleasant to weep with those who weep. But it's important to do that. So when somebody comes to you and says they've got a problem, do you push it off? Nah, I don't want to get that involved. Or do you say, come, talk. Tell me about it. Sit down. Weep with those who weep. We sing the song, the last verse of which is this statement. No, it's the next to last verse. When love in one delightful stream through every bosom flows. But before that it says, when sorrow flows from eye to eye, when we can weep with those who weep and learn the value of that in this lifeboat, we will begin to understand the depths of the fellowship that is ours. When you can learn to embrace your fellow Christian when they're hurting, like you embrace that toe when it's stubbed, when you can feel the sorrow and the sighs of others and not be in competition with your brothers and sisters. And that goes beyond your church. That also goes to churches. I know sometimes we become competitive about those kinds of things. Brethren, these things ought not to be so. We ought to rejoice with those who rejoice. Sometimes somebody says, hey, how's everything going at your church? Oh, unbelievable. We have brought 50 people to the Lord this year, had 50 baptisms. And you say, boy, they must be doing something wrong. We don't have anything like that. Got to be wrong. No. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. We're going to look in more detail at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in one of our other lessons. So I'm going to forego reading that for you tonight. But I want to simply say this to you by way of invitation. Listen, if you're in the waters of sin, get in the lifeboat. Jesus Christ has provided that for you. And the people that you see in this auditorium, we're in it. And we're not perfect. But we know that the only salvation that is available to us is in Jesus Christ. And we will stay in the lifeboat with the most obnoxious body parts because we know without Christ we are lost. If you believe that and you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior, get in the lifeboat. How do you do that? Well, surrender your life. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then give to the members of this body what we talked about tonight. Serve one another and honor one another and pray for one another. If we can help you do that, why don't you trust God's word and obey it right now while we stand and sing this song?